So I want to focus here. I want to get to So unfortunately, the people I wanted to talk to aren't here. No, maybe you were here last year. No, the people I want to talk to, the people that were here last year, they're of Yom Kippur, and we undertook to do something. And also, thank you. Okay, no, I'm just, I didn't say everybody. Just 1 second. Oh, here's Menashe.
Only one thing.
Guys, just 1 second, 1 second. One second. Where is this? One second. I need Mincha. Oh, so before we discuss last year, give Ellie a chance to come back. Manasseh probably remembers this. Baruch was there. Oh, Ellie's here. So Ellie will know what I'm talking about. His last Erev Yom Kippur, we undertook to get to this year Yom Kippur Bezrat Hashem, with this year having been better than last year. Through the Kabbalahs we undertook, and we wrote them down. Some wrote them down, some didn't write them down. We checked them once a month, some people once a year, once a week. Everybody did what he had to do. And the question is are you ready to testify that last year Tavshin Pei Beis was better than Tavshin Pei Aleph because you kept your Kabbalah? Or are we going into another Yom Kippur with a sense of, because that's what you're trying to avoid. Because the ongoing problem of how to keep Kabbalahs, which is not a new problem, and it's not our problem, it's everyone's problem, we solve the problem. And we keep our Kabbalahs, Baruch Hashem, because we have different ways of doing that. So I just want to know how to wait, that's all. Feedback. Whoever was here? Because if not, then we have to see how we fix it up. Before we do that, you think about that, I just want to read our Sharei Tzion again. In Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, the Chofetz Chaim in the Sharei Tzion brings down why we lay in Mafte Yoina on Yom Kippur. So he says, V'kavanoisim ki Adam choyshev kama paim liayishes atzmoy, she'en yoyche letaken b'shum ha'ifem. I need koyach. I can't change. Last year I took on Kabbalahs, I tried to change, same as the year before, and the year before, and the year before. Look, Rav Klum, as any koyach, I can't change, leave me alone. I've got my lach, I've got my seder, I daven, I learn, I have my daily seder, whatever. I was there, leave me alone, I need lo yochol, I can't change. V'alken yitnyaheg tomid ba'ifenechad. Therefore he lives his life, could be a very nice life. We're talking about somebody who's wallowing in the mud. We're talking about somebody who's reading a reasonably functional life, and he's doing okay. Oh, here's another one who was here last year, Erev Yom Kippur. We'll ask him the question also. Let's see. But that's it. So he carries on with his life. Mamshich. The Chofetz Chaim talking, not me. V'im yigzol lav HaKadosh Baruch Hu lamus, as yamus. And if Hashem decides he has to die, he'll die. So everyone's going to die at some stage of the game. So I won't die later, I'll die now. As well. That's what people think. You may have cash. Huge gomo. You stop fooling yourself. You stop fooling yourself that you can change because you see that you can't. Any koyach, I can't anymore. I've tried and tried and tried. They're all there. So, and if a goes bohu says I have to die, no, at some stage of the game, nobody leaves this place alive anyway. So we say that. Aval tol suze. Remember, we want to know why we lay in Mafti Yoina on Yom Kippur. That's what he's coming to explain. But that's a big mistake, he says. Shesof dove ye, because at the end of the day, kol mashe kodesh boch hu reitze minafshe, shi tak and mukhrach hu letak. Whatever kodesh boch hu wants this person to fix up, in the end, he has to fix it up. Mukhrach. Ve yavo od pam upamayim lo ilamaseh. He'll keep coming back and back to this world, and in the end of the day, he's going to do what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants him to do. That's going to happen, given. As v'im kain, if so, lama lo kol ha'omol lamus v'lisbol chibut ha'keva v'shat tzoros. What does he have to go through all the suffering of dying and being born and all the tzoros for lachzor pam to come again? V'roye mi yoyna, and raya mi yoyna. We have a raya from this, from yoyna. Yoyna novi. Shakolosh Baruch Hu rotze mi toy shigeylech v'yinabe. Shakolosh Baruch Hu wanted him to go and give a prophecy, prophesize in Nineveh, correct? V'uman v'ze, v'nas le'yam. He says, no, I don't want to do this. And he lost it there. And he went to a place where there was no klita. He couldn't mechaber to his telephone. You couldn't get hold of him. In the yam, you can't have the vua. It's known that in the Yam, there's no Nevuah. That's why he go to the Yam. He was running away from Hashem. He was a Novi. He understood to run away from Hashem. He went to a place where you can't have Nevuah. In the sea, there's no Nevuah. Mokem shelo yishlo alav oid ha-shchina linois ki yedua. As he's known, there's no ashor shchina in the Yam. Whatever that means. That's not our problem. We have bigger problems. So that's what he did. V'ra'inu shenit ba b'yam v'nivla b'dag v'yesh sham b'moiv kame yomim. He was thrown into the sea. Then he was eaten by a fish, and he lived there for a few days. That's for sure. If you would have stopped the movie 3 days after he was sitting in the tummy of a fish, you would have said, "What are the sequim?" If you were a betting man of Yoina getting to Nineveh to do what a Kodesh Baruch Hu asked him to do, you wouldn't have put any money on Yoina. That's for sure not. Umikol Mako. Got exactly what he wanted. He went and he prophesied. Not to be thrown into the sea, not to be eaten by food. He'd just taken a first class flight straight to Nineveh, and everything would have been fine. But what happened in the end? Kodesh Baruch Hu gets whatever he wants. Cain, who are Adam bin Yonoi. That's in our altitude. In Simon Taf Reish Chav Gimel say the Tfilis Ni'il, not Taf Reish Chav Beis. Tfilis Min Rabbi Kabrin, the Sharet Zion in Vav. Okay, that's the proper time. Okay. So, but we, to some degree, not exactly what he says, but to some degree, we're all that person every year of Yom Kippur, because been here, seen it, done it, and we know, she's a lawze, lawze. How did your year go this year? Better than the year before, you kept your Kabbalah.
Yeah,
you kept it. We did the work we spoke about last year. Remember, we spoke last year. We spoke. Any remembers? Shmuel Mustama remembers. I don't remember who was here.
Yeah.
We set out to do something and we did it. So now I can go into Yom Kippur with enormous feeling of simcha. And not only that, but I know that I can do it. So this year I can take on a Kabbalah. Also, small, the same rules of how you take on Kabbalahs. Mamshich this Kabbalah, whatever. I'm not going to tell people what to work on. Aval, we have the knowledge, the confidence that we can do it. So this year we're going to do it even better. Hashem will help us, and we'll be able to do it better. That's the goal. That's the only goal. You only kanes liyom kippur with that sense of, oh, here I am, Hashem again. I'm lying again. Yeah, I'm going to do this and this and this. But you know the truth. I really want to. Aval, ani yodei she motzei sukkas anikva nigmar. We know that's one of the hardest problems that people have today. Serious, honest, genuine people. Huh? You keep your Kabbalahs. So we find a way to do it. You want to write it down, put it in an envelope, give it to somebody. Come up with ways of how you keep checking and seeing it. It's not going to be 100%. You took on to do something, let's say every day. You took on to say whatever, I don't know. You took on to learn a perek of Zohar every day. You said it. So one day you must do something. But you look back over the year and you go, wow. It was a much better year than the year before. I learned more. I did more. Whatever. there's two nakudas here when you're choosing a Kabbalah. There's many, but what's happening in my head at the moment. I haven't solved that problem yet. I'll show you what I mean. Let's say you want to improve your learning. You want to have more Limud HaTorah this year than you had last year. So you make a special Seder. You don't learn Mishnah Berurah, let's say. So you set aside, you're going to learn 15 minutes every day from 8 to 8.15. My finishes the day from 8 to 8.15. You're going to have a Seder in Mishnah Berurah. So that's easy to come out here. End of the week, you write down. End of the month, you write down. End of the year, you come along and you see, well, come on, learn. Every day I learned one new halacha. So I learned 765 new halachas of Mishnah Berurah. It's magdir, it's there. You can see it, you can hold it, you can feel it. That's more chashuv to be able to do that. How you do that in the avoider, let's say, midas, you want to work on being more patient. Yeah, or you want to work on, is it not so posh how you magdir that? I don't have a solution to that problem. I don't know what you do with that. I'm struggling with that myself. The other thing is, and this is very important to know this, your decision to do something that you're struggling with is not going to help at all. Your decision, I want to get to davening on time. So I make the decision, I'm going to get to davening on time. Not going to work. Because you have a rotzon to get to davening on time, but you have the same rotzon that's been getting you late for the last 50 years. And why do you think that this newborn baby that I want to get to davening on time is going to overpower this 50-year-old rotzon not to get to davening on time? And you have both those rotzonos. The fact that you decided that you're going to come to davening on time, the other rotzon says, oh, okay, well, I'm going away then. That rotzon that lets you sleep another 10 minutes, you get to davening just before Baruch Hu, that rotzon doesn't go away just because you decided to do something different. We all know that. Everybody knows that. We think that it does. That's why we keep making these stupid decisions and they don't do anything. Because we think that just I decided I'm going to do something. So then that thing that's been stopping me from doing this for the last 50 years just disappears. The lo nachon doesn't work. Therefore, you have to find something that touches you. You have to find something that moves you, that's connected to you, that touches you. It has to have something to do with the what we call the lave, that place where the mind and the emotions touch each other. It's got to be something that manyens you, something that interests you, something that, I don't know, that's central to you. We all know, you look past over the year, there's going to be something that stands out. Something that touches you, something that manyens you, something that interests you. Mishnah Berurah lo manyenoti, let's say. That's not really what I'm drawn to. I have to learn a lot, so I force myself to learn a lot. Is that okay? Yeah. But the loma should be dukshe. That's not my nose. So you make a decision now, you're going to learn. The mod kashe, because it's just a decision with no connection to your emotional base. You have to find something to work on, something that something that touches you. Nefesh HaChaim defines the lave as that which is central. Something that's at the center of your life, something that interests you, something you draw to, something that, I don't want to use the word, excites you. And also not something that overpowers you and takes over everything. It's got to be something that's there, that I do. You're working on something in place in tefillah, let's say. So then, yeah, that's part of tefillah. The rest of the day, it's a lot of tefillah, all alayt. I don't know if it has to be fit with something that's going on already. It has to be something that touches you, something that you feel connected to, that you want to work on, and you want to grow with, and you want to spend time developing. If it doesn't manyen you, if it doesn't touch you, then it's just a decision that I want to do this, and you'll force yourself to do it, and eventually you'll fail. Because that you know that already, I don't have to tell you, that's what's going to happen, because we all know that's what happens. But to find something, sure. Your thing's tefillah. You're drawn by tefillah. So maybe the halachas you want to work on, maybe this you want to work on, maybe there's a certain union in understanding and tefillah, whatever. Tefillah is not my game. I'm just using an example because the problem is not my thing. Well, you have to find something that whatever, whether it's an union in Limud HaTorah, whether it's an union in Avodah Zarah, whether whatever it is, Chesed, it could be something in Chesed. Because choly might be your thing and whatever, and you find it very hard to go to the hospital to visit, so you find it, that you work on it, you develop it, you build it. So it's something you decide to do. You have to have a tochnit. You have the halachas. There's the halachas of bika choylim, let's say. So you're going to spend 15 minutes a day learning hilchas bika choylim, because that's really what Hanyeh, that really touches you. It's something you feel that, I don't know, sick people, thinking of people in the hospital, that moves you. Other people think, oh, well, in the mucham as I'm giving this bika choylim, I go, you know, I donate money to Ezra Mitzion, and I'm a kind with this bika choylim like that, because they're local kach. That's not my thing, yeah? But other people, but a boch in the yeshiva, I think it started Aisha Torah in the Asian, it carried on, whatever. Friday morning, the bochrim felt they weren't spending that much time learning. Friday's a hot time, whatever. So one of the bochrim made a roster to go visit the sick and go see what people need, Arab Shabbos in Hadassah. The group of bochrim used to go off to Hadassah every Friday morning, and they should go to pick a poem for people. It was amazing to see. Why? Because this guy, he was drawn to that. Why did anybody else think of it? He's hello. That's not me. You can't confess everything, but you know what touches you. You know what moves you. That's where you have to find a way. Once again, you don't have to do this. I'm just saying it makes more sense, and you're more likely to succeed if you're working on something that's about you, that's connected to what you are already. And then write it down, keep a track of it, work it. Once again, not obsessively. The goal is not to become obsessive. There's another 612 mitzvahs in the Torah you have to keep as well. You're learning, you're busy, you've got kids, you're not sleeping at night because the kids, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. There's work, but also for a businessman, it might be something in business. So Ma'odman Yenglo Hilchus Ribis. He's a guy that's involved in business and his dealings and whatever. Hilchus Ribis, Ma'odman Yenoto. Because he thinks, you know, I'm Chaylet Lamaba, so let me find out more about what's going on in Ribis. You'll get a chavrusa, or you'll sign up to the Kava Ribis or whatever. You'll start spending 20 minutes a day doing something Ribis. He's likely to continue doing that because it's part of his life and it touches him. It's something that he's connected to. It's not something abstract. That's what a person has to try and find. Odpam, it's much easier to be magdirit and write it down and keep track of it when it's something like Badom La Chaveira. Badom La Mokum is much harder to find a way. Hilchus Stocker, for example. Stocker touches a person. Go learn Hilchus Stocker. You think Hilchus Stocker is so simple? Most of us are not came in the midst of Hilchus Stocker to Hilchus. You're not. The Moshe said the one child that nobody ever asked him was Hilchus Stocker. Shulchan Aruch, it's not a big sieve because Shulchan Aruch was based to a large extent on people's shalas that were asked. The people don't ask questions. Hilchus Stocker, why? Because I know what I'm doing. How many times do you have a shalom kibbut of a aim? Not that often, because I know what I'm doing. I know that'd be a good son. And you'll be able to tell Pachot how to look after my parents. You ever opened up a Rambam and you'll just kibbut of a aim? The mother of a right. Or in Hilchus Stocker, you ever opened up a Hilchus Stocker? Hilchus Stocker is a... I was in Toronto, I was fundraising once. So some of the Balabatim asked me to give them a machine Hilchus Stocker. I said, I mentioned this, whatever. I started learning the lochas. I realized I could give a machine Hilchus Stocker. You know how much these in Hilchus Stocker? The person giving stock, he enjoys giving stock. It's part of it he does, he feels whatever. I'll sit down and learn, make that your Kabbalah for that. I don't know, I'm not telling you what to do, I'm just thinking of wild suggestions here. And become a bok in Hilchus Stocker. Next year you look back and go, wow, this year Mamush gave stock. I was giving stock all the years, but I didn't know. And now Mamush doing it. And he knows when to our shalas, and he's got a whole sugya. He's learned the sugar properly. He's got a whole new, that's combining two things together. It's even better. The bits of stocker with the learning, try and do that. The thing that you're doing, learn the halachas of it. That's why you build it and prepare your shakosh boch. I'm real. I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara anymore. So how are you going to do it? From 4 to 6 in the afternoon, that's it. That's my time of Lashon. I'm speaking Lashon. The rest of the time, I'm speaking whatever I want. That's real? Ever learned Hilchus Stocker? Ever learned Hilchus Lashon Hara? Never. If you would start learning, you'll take on to learn 2 halachas of Hilchus Lashon Hara every day for the year. You'll probably end up speaking less Lashon Hara than you would if you took on 2 hours. You're not going to speak Lashon Hara and you never learned the halachas. But again, you have to use your say. I'm not telling everyone has to find their own. I'm just making some suggestions. A lot of it stuff we spoke about earlier, questions that were asked earlier, experience that you've had. You have to find something that touches you and something that you can keep track of. Yes.
I think I understood the concept correctly. Because number one, it's like we don't have anything, right? Number two, it's depressing.
He told you what. He told you what. But in kind, lama kola omul lamus, veliz boil chibuta kever, veshat soras velachza od pam. Just get it done now. You don't have to go through all that gehenim again. Okay, fine. So that's good. So then it doesn't matter. I accept that. Baruch, I hear your problem. I don't have a solution. That's it. So then do what the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim obviously knows there's people out there like that. That's why he wrote, don't do it. He's telling you, my son, please, I'm asking nasty, giving an answer, don't do it. You want to do that percentage, like you said, you got Bechira, go for it. Go learn about Mazik Chibuta Kever. You might decide, I don't want to go through this more than once. Don't know. Then it might be get motivated. I don't know. I'm just telling you, that's what he says. Don't make the mistake of thinking you can't change because you can. In this Vaad, we decided we can change and we have changed. Because we had this discussion last year, from the year before, there were people that said, hey, wow, first time was able to be Matzliach. Yeah, Baruch Hashem, I can change. And we did change. You mean you're a completely new person? No, don't be stupid. That wasn't the game. It wasn't the goal. The goal was to become a completely new person. The goal is to find one Kabbalah to take on something that you know you'll be able to keep through the year. And the rest you give Ashodesh Baruch Hu, it's his problem. It's his problem. Psak Halacha from Reb Nissen Karelitz, remember? You have to take it out again. You have to drag out the Reb Nissen again.
Huh? No, it is.
It's in the Hagdama to Yom Kippur, or Shurim Kippur, Yom Narim, in the Chut Shani.
Yeah.
You remember the Reb Nissen? Okay, tomorrow Mitzvah Shem will do. Maybe look tomorrow, we'll discuss that. That I give to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Everything else. Okay, I have to do tshuva, but I've got a tshuva. But the Kabbalah aspect of that tshuva, because I'm not taking on a Kabbalah on only one thing. I'm not taking on a Kabbalah on 55,000 that I'm clapping. So chaseh, one of the tnayim of tshuva. So then your tshuva is not a tshuva. You have to have a Kabbalah. That you give to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'll explain to you tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. Rav Nissen Paskin's La Locha. Rav Nissen Karelitz itself. It's a poisek, the poisek. Paskin's La Locha. What you do with all those Kabbalahs, how you throw them to Hashem and tell him that your problem, you deal with them. But that's only if you've taken on a Kabbalah and you're keeping your Kabbalah. Your Kabbalah that you take on is critically important because all the ones you've given to Hashem, if you don't get your Kabbalah right, he throws them back at you.
So this is like an actual thing.
You have to do tshuva. I say the rice on your kippah to do tshuva. Well, you have to take on a Kabbalah for every avayu that you're doing tshuva for. The Yisrael Salanter says you can only do one thing. Don't do more than one. We can explain maybe tomorrow also why only one. Okay? Why you can only take on one? Well, then we have a problem. What about all the others? You have to have a Kabbalah for everything you're doing tshuva for. We listen to Karenzo's discussion. And he gives a solution, give it to Hashem, but he explains how you do that. Okay, that's Hashem. We'll finish this off tomorrow. Bezrat Hashem.